All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries, Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in our series, The Benefits of Salvation. The message today is Justification, One of Three Divine Acts, Part 2. It is April 3rd, 2022. I am Dr. Mary Craig. So let's open with prayer. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. And we thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for his life of radical obedience, perfect personal perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross, taking our place and satisfying divine justice. We thank you for this reconciliation and this redemption. We thank you, Lord, that our sins are forgiven. We thank you for the destruction work of Satan, that the works of darkness have been destroyed by all that Jesus did. And we thank you, Lord God, that your wrath, that we are saved from your wrath, and we can call you Father because you accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and you raised him from the dead, and we thank you that he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Almighty, at the right hand of the throne of God. And we thank you, Lord, that Jesus is the judge of what is living and what is dead. And we thank you that Jesus will return in power and great glory. We give you the praise for this, and we give you the glory. And we thank you, Lord, for the sending of the Holy Spirit. We ask that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth to guide us into the truth of your word, and that the Holy Spirit would come as the Spirit of wisdom for our days, and the Spirit of revelation to reveal Jesus Christ to us, Lord God, for we are not as those who have no hope. We give you the glory for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so last week we discussed justification as one of three divine acts, meaning God does it. Some people object to the teaching that by faith in Christ alone, completely apart from the works of the law or law-keeping, God immediately pardons the ungodly of all his sins. God constitutes or establishes legally the ungodly person as righteous in his sight by imputing Christ's righteousness to him. We went over all that basis last week in part one. So it is by Christ alone, by faith in Christ alone, by grace alone, that a person is justified, declared righteous, because Christ was sent by the Father to save. Christ died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Jesus made the reconciliation, the way back to the Father. And that's what salvation is all about. How do we get back to the Father? And it is all of grace. So today we're going to look at five main objections. These are not the only objections, but we're going to look at five main objections. Objection number one, such teaching encourages licentious living and hinders the development of true ethical conduct. Objection number two, James' teaching on faith and works contradicts what I said about justification, imputation, and all of that. Number three, the fact that the final judgment is according to works, in which there is a corresponding distribution of rewards to the faithful, contravenes it, this whole idea of justification by faith in Christ alone, apart from the works of the law. Okay, number four, the fact that the Christian needs to continue to seek God's forgiveness for his sins throughout his life opposes it. And number five, justification, so construed, grounds the Christian life in some sort of, quote, as if, unquote. All right, so let's look more into objection number one. Such teaching encourages licentious living and hinders the development of true ethical conduct. Now, I will say a lot of people live this way. They think, oh, well, God forgives me. I can do whatever I want. It's kind of like that. It doesn't matter. But they forget that when a person is truly saved, you receive the Holy Spirit, the whole salvation applied. The Holy Spirit applies what Jesus Christ accomplished. What Jesus did is objective. What the Holy Spirit does is subjective. We're the subjects. And the Holy Spirit applies what Jesus Christ accomplished. So, they forget about the Holy Spirit being holy. Holy Spirit. The Spirit of holiness. And he has an agenda. And that is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, among other things. Okay. So Paul answers the first objection, for example, in Romans 3, verse 8. Why not say, as some slanderously claim that we say, let us do evil that good may result. Their condemnation is deserved. And Paul meets this objection head on. With his doctrine of the Christian's union with Christ. The union with Christ. He does that in Romans chapter 6 and 7. There's a string of verses there. And so at the end of this tape or whatever, recording, we're going to just read out a lot of scripture support all at once at the end. Okay, a true believer united by grace to Christ in his death and reckoning himself dead to sin and alive to God and understanding his resurrection to newness of life from Romans 6 verses 1 to 14 will not want to sin. And that's the key. The desire to sin is removed because When a believer does something out of line, God is not lawless, people. He's not. He is lawful. And we have to see even the salvation provided in Christ, that is all lawful. Everything that God did and does, it's lawful. He's the lawgiver, king and judge. So we will not want to sin. If you thought you were miserable before, just come under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so in gratitude for salvation, the true believer desires to live no longer for himself, but for Christ who died and rose again for him. 2 Corinthians 5:15. If justification is by faith, is by grace, through faith in Christ, one lives out of gratitude. If by works, including the work of our own faith, then one lives in a growing self-righteousness, elevating self or lowering the law, or trying to obey in some human soulish effort, leading to despair. And like Stephen says, they carry a heavy burden. It's a heavy burden. It's a burden that I call trying to live the victorious Christian life routine in one's own strength. and it is a growing. They think it's up, you know, if it has to be, it's up to me. That's kind of a, well, I don't know what it's called, but anyway, that's what I've heard them say in groups that kind of believe that. They kind of teach that, that our own faith, we did it. We save ourselves. And that lowers the law, elevates self, and it's a soulish effort. And we can't do it. For Jesus will be glorified in all things. Remember, Jesus is the author and finisher of the faith. All right, objection number two. James' teaching on faith and works contradicts it. Now, you'll hear this a lot because Paul is looking at everything from one perspective, and James is looking at the same thing from a different perspective, just like two people looking at a work of art, let's say a painting or anything, a sunset, and whatever, from two different angles or two different perspectives. So James intends by, quote, justified, that word, the verdict which God declares when the actually and previously justified person has demonstrated his actual righteous state by obedience and good works. So show me your faith by your works. In other words, after you're saved, your obedience to the truth, your obedience will show what you truly believe. So Bonhoeffer said, the one who believes, obeys. The one who obeys, believes. And as most of you know, I think, if you truly, I used to always say until they started to show it on TV, if you truly believe that eating peanut butter will cure cancer, right? Everybody will eat peanut butter because you will obey what you believe. And we see this all the time with people. They run after this thing or they run after that thing and they believe, you know, do this, get this vaccine and you're good to go and you won't. You will never get that disease. No? I'll leave it at that. But the obedience shows what you truly believe. Okay. Paul is concerned with how a person may achieve right standing before God. In other words, he's answering, how does a person become justified before a holy and living God, the process of it. How may a person achieve right standing before God? And he turns to Genesis 15, verse 6 to find his answer. James is concerned with how a person is to demonstrate that he is actually justified before God and has true faith. And James turns to Genesis 22, verses 9 and 10 as the fulfillment of Genesis 15, verse 6, to find his answer. If someone has true faith, it will be a living faith working through love, a good work that has been wrought in God. So, we're not going to read all of Romans chapter 4, but I encourage reading through Romans chapter 4, carefully, and Romans chapter 5, carefully. Romans 4 focuses on Abraham and Abraham's demonstration of his faith, and Romans 5 is focusing on Jesus as the federal head of a new humanity, and how one is declared righteous before God. Objection number three. The fact that the final judgment is, according to works, in which there is a corresponding distribution of rewards to the faithful, contravenes it. Okay, let's look at that. It is true that the final judgment is a judgment of works, and that the scriptures hold forth the promise of rewards for faithful living. Faithfulness is very important to God, and Jesus Christ is the faithful Amen. He is the true witness. He is the faithful Amen, and God is faithful, and so faithfulness, full of faith, is rewarded. The justified believer, justified by faith alone, will produce good works in obedience to God's commandments as the fruit and evidence of a true and lively faith. These works will be in the will of God, to and for God's glory, done because God has given grace to obey through faith, which works by love. The true believer lives in Christ with supreme loyalty and attachment to Christ, in union with Christ. So reward for good works is not administered because good works earn or merit reward, but because God is graciously pleased to reward them. It is a reward. These are rewards of grace, and that's why they're going to be laid. The crowns will be laid at Jesus' feet. Okay, so that's what's important to get that straight. They don't come out of our own little souls that are so good. You know what I mean? No, they're